Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, text number 22. I guess it's Brahma Samhita, is that right? I mean, there must be some verses in Brahma Samhita because it's all being spoken by Brahma. And I will try Brahma Samhita. Tasmadidam jagad ashesham asat sarupam. Snapna bham asta dishanam pura dukkha dukkham. Twayeva nitya sukha bodha tandva ante. Maya ta udyat api yat sad eva vabati. Tasmat. Therefore. Idam. This. Jagat. Cosmic manifestation. Ashesham. Entire. Asat Swarupam, whose existence is unreal in the sense of temporary. Swapnadu Abham, like a dream. Astadishanam, wherein awareness becomes covered over. Puru dukkha dukkham, full of repeated miseries. Twayi, within you. Eva, indeed. Nitya, eternal. Sukha, happy. Bodha, conscious. Tanao, whose personal appearances. Anande, who is unlimited. Mayataha, by the illusory energy. Udyat, coming forth. Api, although. Yat, which. Sat, real. Eva, as if. Avabhati, appears. Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Therefore, this entire universe, which is like a dream, is by nature unreal. Nevertheless, appears real. And thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. Purport. As an object of enjoyment or permanent residence for the conditioned souls, the material universe is certainly illusion, nothing more than a dream. One may give the analogy that the vision of abundant water in a desert is no more than a dream, although real water exists elsewhere. Similarly, the vision of home, happiness, and reality within matter is certainly no better than a foolish dream in which repeated miseries appear. In another sense, however, the universe is real. In his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Srila Madhvacharya has confirmed this by quoting the following statement from the Vedic Shruti mantras. Satyam yevadam vishvam ashrijata. This universe created by the Lord is real. The perfect authority of the Vedas thus certifies this universe to be real. Nevertheless, because our knowledge is stolen by illusion, as indicated here by the words asat dishanam, we cannot properly understand this universe or the Supreme Lord who has created it. As the expansion of Lord Krishna, the universe is real and is meant for being engaged in his service. One who accepts the kingdom of God as home, the Lord himself as the object of love, and the material universe as paraphernalia for being engaged in the Lord's service, dwells within the eternal reality. Wherever he may go within the material and spiritual worlds. So the translation again. Therefore, the entire universe, which is like a dream, is by nature unreal, nevertheless appears real, and thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. So I'd like to welcome back Chandramali Maharaj. He's just been away for a couple of days. Now he's, instead of being our resident, now he's become our next door neighbor. It's pretty close. So here it says that this is all real, that we're observing and experiencing, and it's also completely illusion. So take it any way you like. It's real in the sense that it's been manifested by the Supreme Reality, Lord Krishna. He's created the material world to put so those souls that want to have an illusory life are able to do so. Anything outside of Krishna is considered to be illusion. In other words, we have a eternal spiritual identity. We have an eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna, and that can't be changed. All we can do is forget it and pretend or imagine that we're something other than that. That means we, now that we have the human form of life, we identify ourselves with this present human body. And we have the capacity to understand that we're in illusion to begin with, and the process of getting out of illusion. Tevidu Swarthikatim Hi Vishnu. Most people don't know that, and therefore they're not interested in getting out of illusion. They're more interested in getting more absorbed in illusion. And therefore they're creating problems. Prabhupada says that there is four kinds of people. There's the lazy intelligent. There's the active intelligent. There's the active foolish. And then there's the lazy foolish. So in this world, people are born lazy foolish, and then by education they become actively foolish, like the monkeys, running here and there creating problems for themselves and everyone else. And the monkeys, as Prabhupada said, they're very proud. They have so many female disciples. They have so many, they live naked, so they're very renounced. They're mostly vegetarians, and they're quite proud of their present situation. But modern society is not only training up, well, the problem starts with Sringi. Sringi was a so-called Brahmin, and he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. Now the Brahmins are supposed to guide the Kshatriyas, who are supposed to relate that information in a practical way to the subjects. But in modern society, the Brahmins have become Asura Bhavam Ashrityas. Those who are taking the position of teachers have become cheaters. And those who are supposed to be guided by them to administer the society, the Maya Pritijnanas, They simply repeat all kinds of nonsense. In other words, words are supposed to uncover Krishna, and words that don't uncover Krishna to some degree obscure Krishna. That there is nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energy, and those words which uncover that reality, they're known as Krishna conscious words. And those words that cover that reality, they're known as nonsense. They're the croaking of the frogs. They may be, the frog may croak in his own mind very elegantly, and he enjoys this croaking very much. Maybe some of his friends do also. But ultimately, he's just calling for the black snake to come and eat him. Similarly, any words that don't reveal Krishna, don't help us understand our relationship with Krishna, and give us direction how to revive that relationship with Krishna, they're known as croaking of the frogs. Now the whole world is full of croaking of frogs, but according to the Krishna book, actually the whole world is full of Krishna's singing. But everyone is understanding in a different way. So therefore even the croaking of the frogs we can interpret in the, from the Srimad Bhagavatam and reveal what they're actually saying. As we can see in the Bhagavatam, there are many different kinds of personalities who speak. Some of them like Shishupal or Pundraka. They speak criticizing Krishna, or Jarasandha is a good example. But the goddess of fortune reveals what they're actually saying. They're actually praising Krishna. At least according to that's how the goddess of fortune hears it. So similarly, there's one reality, and that's called Krishna consciousness. And there's many other realities, which is called what we perceive under the modes of material nature. Therefore, one has to become detached from nonsense, and then one will automatically get at least one will not be distracted from actually hearing the actual about how to obtain actual reality. So real reality is happiness. But we become so much accustomed to misery that we're wondering when I'm going to get back to my normal state of misery again. We're actually afraid of becoming too happy. Because if we don't pay attention to all our misery and all the problems we have and all the future problems we might have, then the sky might fall or the wall may fall and we may miss it. So we're creating within our imagination all our problems and not realizing that our real problem is that we've just forgotten Krishna. We don't see things in Krishna consciousness and we're not following the process by which we can wake up again to realize that everything is all right. Krishna is actually in control and Krishna is a good person. He's a nice person. He's arranging everything for everyone's benefit perfectly. And we don't have to worry that Krishna is going to make some mistake. And we have to make sure that we have all our bases covered before we take our next step. Because after all, it's getting close to Chaturmasya. And who knows, Krishna might be already asleep. And we're on our own. But that's not the reality of the situation. Ishvara sarabhutanam rideshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarabhutani yantra rudani maya. The Supreme Lord is actually directing everyone's wanderings, including ourselves. We're seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Therefore, tam eva sharanam gacha sarabhavena bharata tat prasada param shantim stanam prapsi shastradam. Therefore, surrender unto him in all respects, O Arjuna, and that way you'll become you'll get eternal peace in the transcendental abode. So Krishna is right with us. We just have to take shelter of him, either internally by becoming thoughtful and inquiring from Krishna, and waiting for his giving us intelligence to understand things properly, or through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Now everyone is a transparent media, either to the modes of nature or to Krishna. So we have to learn how to discriminate who's talking nonsense and who's talking about Krishna. Whose words are products of illusion and whose words are product of reality. When Haridas Thakur was speaking to the Qazi was saying, you were born in a very nice family, you were a bona fide Muslim, how have you become contaminated by becoming a Hindu? This Hare Krishna movement, how has it covered you over? So Haridas Thakur didn't really say anything because he realized this is Maya talking to him. He can't win against Maya. Maya doesn't say, except Haridas Thakur eventually did win against Maya, because Maya actually surrendered to him, came and asked to get initiated, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But in this particular situation, Maya is the representative of Maya in the disciples' succession from the mode of ignorance. Was speaking all kinds of nonsense, and Haridas Thakur immediately identified it. Now that's part of our business, is to identify it. But only as I was in the Nectar of Instruction, it says that only when we come to the bhava stage, when we're always in ecstasy, does Maya become completely clear what's Maya. On that, we have to try to progress so it becomes clearer. What is actually reality and what we're being influenced by, which is actually just covering our consciousness. So that we have to become conscious of, and that's part of the process of advancing in Krishna, towards Krishna consciousness. To accept things favorable, and then we can gradually understand which is unfavorable, and by some process of developing the favorable, we can actually say, well, maybe I can give up the unfavorable. Then, gata sangasya muktasya gyanavastita chetasaha eja charata karma samagram praviliyate. The work of a man who's unattached to the modes of material nature and is situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. So the work, we all have to do something, of a man who's unattached to the modes of nature. So that takes some time. Because what does it mean to be unattached to the modes of material nature? Satvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava nivananti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. The material body consists of three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with this body, it becomes conditioned by those modes. So the thing that we're most dear, which is most dear and near to us, this body, the mind, our material conceptions, and ultimately our false ego, this is our enemy. this is what our problem is, our attachment to it. Now we're not trying to become averse to material body or the mind or anything, but we should understand the material body was not given to us for our enjoyment. It was given to us for our instruction to utilize properly. And when it's utilized in Krishna's service, tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gachantnya puna avritim, jnana nirduta kalmashaha. When one's intelligence, when we see things in Krishna consciousness, when we see how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, and then act appropriately towards everyone and everything, then we become a transparent media for Krishna's desire. So that's our first business, is to see, am I a servant of Maya or am I a servant to the illusory energy? Am I an instrument for Krishna or am I an instrument to the illusory energy? Now, as an observer, either way, the thing is we want to take the credit. In Maya, we want to take the credit. And sometimes in Krishna consciousness, we also want to take the credit. So either way, one is better than the other. In other words, when we act as an instrument for Krishna, we may want to take the credit because we don't have full understanding, but at least we're acting properly. And then this understanding will come gradually into the future, how actually Krishna is the doer, and that we're simply an observer. We're simply desiring either to become an instrument for Krishna or an instrument for the illusory energy. And then the modes of material nature take over, or the spiritual energy takes over. Either way, within a moment, we can be in bliss, and the next moment, we could be completely in illusion. But we have to practice. And in other words, by sadhana bhakti, by hearing, chanting, serving, then gradually, didami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will give us the intelligence to see things properly. And the more we see things improperly, then the less we become affected by illusion. But we also have to be a little patient because Krishna has to test us, Krishna has to train us, we have to gradually make progress because Krishna's not going to rank away our material attachments. Rank us out of the body. And then we're appearing as one little 10,000 size, tip of hair and size soul. Go, oh, what's going on here? Who did this? Where am I? All these big people, where do they come from? No, Krishna's not going to do it. He's going to work with us. He's been doing that since time immemorial. And now he's very happy that we're sitting here hearing about him. That we're hearing about how to get closer to him. Because that's all Krishna wants. That's all he really desires, to see us happy in relationship to him. So we have to learn to see things properly, utilize our intelligence, and see, am I acting as an instrument for Krishna or an instrument for the illusory energy? And not get, as soon as we're acting as an instrument for Krishna and everyone says, oh, you're doing great, you're a fantastic person, we love you, or, you know, whatever. Oh, yeah, that's right. Finally, everyone has recognized me. How wonderful I am. Thank you very much. It's all right. I'm humble. And immediately Maya comes and slaps us down. What happened? I was a great devotee 5 minutes ago. What happened? Now I'm in illusion again. Because it is said that Maya is standing right by us. What is that? How does that start? That Maya is standing by us. What is the word for standing? And then she slaps us down. As soon as we turn our face, Krishna Bahir Mukha Boga Vanchatare Nikatasta Tare Japitiyadare. As soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then immediately Maya comes and slaps us down. But we can't complain. Oh, why did you slap me? You told me how wonderful I was 5 minutes ago. No, she has to do that. Otherwise, we'll become encouraged to stay in Maya. She comes and says, oh, see how beautiful I am. We go, yeah, you're very beautiful. Come here. Let me touch you. And you go, okay. Pach! Oh, oh, I'm sorry, I just, you know, my hand slipped. I didn't really mean it. Yeah, let me touch you again with my other hand. Wait a second, I'm losing faith in you, Maya. Well, no. Don't worry, I love you still. You're so wonderful. So we have to differentiate between when Maya is offering us some temporary happiness, home, wife, children, husband, land, whatever, and a few moments of happiness in the bliss of Maya. Then we have to understand that this is Maya's just giving us our what we want and then slapping us to make sure we don't want it, to try and make sure we don't want it again. But we're very slow learners. But Maya is very patient. And Krishna is very patient. And we're not very patient. But we're learning patience. Therefore, when we can learn, get some knowledge, gata sangasya muktasya gyanavastita chetasa. And when we become situated in that knowledge, then what happens? We don't get foreheads like Brahma. We don't become Superman or Superwoman. What happens to us? Brahmarpanam brahmahayavira brahmagno brahmahutam brahmayavatena gantavya brahmakarma samadhina. That the work of a man who's unattached to the modes of material nature, for him, this is the one verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada wrote that seems has nothing to do with the Sanskrit. I mean, not so much to do with the Sanskrit. The person emerges entirely into transcendence. For him, Brahman is something. The offering, the sacrifice. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. In other words, the only thing we're really trying to change principally is our vision, is our mood and vision. To deal with Krishna, to deal with everyone, because there's nothing but Krishna and Krishna's representatives. To deal with them not in such a way as that Krishna is pleased. That's all we're trying to do. Then everything will be revealed. Then this material world will turn into the spiritual world. And we'll be in ecstasy because the material nature will no longer help us forget Krishna. And in association with Krishna, we'll always be loving and blissful. Naturally, spontaneously. We won't have to think about how I should treat this person, how I should treat that person, because we'll be in love with everyone. We won't be in competition with anyone because we'll want to serve everyone. Even Krishna is in that mood. He's God, but he wants to serve everyone. He loves everyone. He does everything for everyone's benefit. And those who become conscious of Krishna, they act exactly like Krishna does. And therefore there is no more anxiety. Whatever happens, one understands is the mercy of Krishna. And it is the mercy of Krishna. One sees himself as a perfect instrument for Krishna to help others, to serve others. And that's all one wants to do, is to love and serve and help others. Because one is in love with everyone. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness. It's not some philosophical process, only a philosophical process to learn slokas and to have people criticize us because we're in Maya and to try to justify our Maya. No, the whole process is to develop love for Krishna and love for everyone. And along the way we need a little philosophy to see things properly so we don't get tricked by Maya, that's all. And act in some other way that which is not beneficial for our real selves, trying to defend our false selves, our false ego. That's all our philosophy is about. Simple. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Thank you. So just one other comment is that somehow or another, Srila Prabhupada always wanted to take us to take responsibility for our activities. That we can't hand our responsibility over to others, that we should become Krishna conscious, and then if something goes wrong, we blame everyone else except for ourselves. So it's up to us to learn how to become conscious of Krishna, how to act for Krishna in any circumstance. Even sometimes it appears that we're being misdirected, but we shouldn't allow ourselves to be misdirected by anyone. It's our responsibility to know what the proper direction is. And when someone asks us to do something in Krishna consciousness, whether in a aspiring devotee is in some degree or another is an authority. That's why we were taught to call each other Prabhu. Because it means that I'm your servant. Dasa, dasa, anadasa. So we've been taught to do that. But we have to be able to discriminate what they're actually saying, what I can do to actually serve them. If they ask us to do something, then we should consider it. If this is coming from Krishna, and if it's not coming from Krishna, what I should do to serve this particular devotee, or even person, what I should do to serve them, because we remain servant, whether the person's in Maya, or in Krishna consciousness, we have to learn proper discrimination, how to remain a servant in all circumstances. That may mean sometimes we neglect someone, we don't associate with them very intimately, it may mean we have to cooperate with others. And above all, in the background, we have to have our acharyas in disciple succession illuminating our consciousness with their knowledge so we can actually act lovingly and appropriately with all types of living entities, because only they can actually help guide us how to do so, because only they have the expertise to do it. So it's our duty to take shelter of our disciple succession and in that way become a pure devotee ourselves. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Everything becomes so quiet. It's peaceful. All right. Kala Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam Ki Jai.